Well, it's a privilege to be here with you this morning. If you don't know me, I've been here many times with you before. And by the way, you support me. I'm back there on the board as a chaplain at the Genesee County Jail. I'm assistant chaplain there. And, you know, I want to encourage you to make sure that you're here next week. Next week, Bruce Johnson will be here with CWE. Bruce Johnson is a fellow deacon with me at Emmanuel Baptist Church. So you're pretty lucky. You've got a deacon from Emmanuel this week, a deacon from Emmanuel next week. So that's pretty special, right? So I want to encourage you to be here. And the reason why is I've known Bruce Johnson for a long time. And Bruce Johnson, actually, my first mission trip I ever went on, Bruce Johnson was supposed to be in charge of that mission trip. He ended up, while we were sitting at the airport in Miami is when he realized he could not go on that mission trip. And he couldn't go because his passport was still in trying to get some permission to go somewhere else as soon as he got back. So we're standing at the airport getting ready to go, and this other guy showed up going to take Bruce Johnson's place. And so, like, as we're standing there waiting to get on a plane with Bruce Johnson, Bruce Johnson's like, sorry, guys, that I can't go. But interestingly enough, the guy who replaced him was the only guy not from Emmanuel Baptist Church, by the way. We got a whole crew. We're all from the same church. Only guy, and he was my roommate. And, man, he was a blessing to me. And that it was on that mission trip that God flipped me right side up and changed my life all the way around. And so when I think of CWE, God used that group of people in a mighty way. You know, they get together, they develop these devotions that we do while we're on a mission trip. And it was sitting in that devotion on that first day where a good friend of mine looked at me and said, choose you this day whom you will serve. How many times have I heard that verse? Countless times, right? I've heard that verse so many times. And as he sat there and asked me that question, choose you this day whom you will serve, it became real to me. Because that was a question that I had to ask myself every day when I got up. Choose you today who you will serve. And I came back from that trip a different guy. And it's been an interesting walk since then to get from there to here to where I'm at now. But look here, when I look back on this whole journey, it's been about a relationship with God. Because at that moment, I think it's an incredible story. I really wish I had time to tell you about it, but I can remember that moment where I'm sitting out there in the woods by myself and tears are rolling down my face, and I realized that although I knew God, although I believed in God, although Christ is my Savior, I'd served Him for so many years that I just wasn't really living in God's will. I didn't really have the relationship with Him that He wanted me to have. And at that moment, I knew I was ready to begin that relationship, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. So be here for next week, because I know that both Bruce Johnson and his message with CWE will touch your heart. So make sure you make that a priority to be here next week. You know, that verse from 1 John 4:18 and 19, I used to go to this church, and the pastor would say that verse 19 all the time. We love Him because He first loved us. And when I think about that verse, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath punishment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. And the question I have for you today is, what does your relationship with Jesus Christ really look like? What does it really look like in life? Look, I might get a little offensive this morning. I'm a jailhouse preacher, so I don't know what to tell you. But, right. But here's the deal. Like, I can get up on Sunday morning, right, and I can put on the clothes, and I can come here to this building, and I can listen to the Word of God, and I can sing the hymns out loud, and I can do the things that make me look. The Bible says they'll know you by your fruit, and sometimes we can have some of that fruit, some of those things that make us look like godly people, right? But there's 7 days in this week. There's 7 days in this week, and when we walk out that door, if I walk in here today and I have conviction under my heart, and God's saying, I want more from you, I desire to have a better relationship with you, and you walk outside those doors and you ignore that for the next 6 days, and then you come back inside those doors with the same clothes on, with the same attitude, and what good was that week? What good was that week? I think this has really been laying heavy on my heart, because lately I seem to have a lot of guys that I've been talking to, that they want to have a relationship with God. I'm talking about guys in jail, right? These guys are rock bottom. They got nothing else. They want a relationship with God. They want it. They're just not willing to do what it takes to have it. I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking about that. You know, it says that we love him because he first loved us. He began this relationship with us. And do we really try to meet the other side? I think about like me and my wife. When me and my wife first started dating, you know, we were best friends at that time. So at some point, me and my wife got together and we both expressed the idea that we wanted to have more. That we wanted to be more than just friends. We wanted to begin a relationship together, right? And so there was that initiation of that. And then eventually we started to hang out. We started going on dates. You know, interestingly enough, my first date with my wife, I bought her some hot dogs from the gas station. I think it was two for a dollar, three for a dollar, something like that. I'm a hard roller, you know. So, and that's a good story. But my point is this, is that we began to spend quality time together. You know, we began to cultivate that love between us. We began to make that a priority in life. I would not hang out with my friends. You probably, I mean, if you're a guy or a girl, you probably had friends like that, like they got mad at you because you started hanging around somebody you maybe wanted to marry in the future because, you know, you wanted to cultivate that relationship, right? Now your buddies are mad at you because you want to spend time with this girl or this guy instead of spending time with them. They kind of get a little upset about that. It's the same thing with God. I mean, what we choose to do in life, sometimes we sacrifice. There has to be commitment to that. And when you think about like building a relationship with another person, you put a lot of time and effort into that, right? You put time and effort into that so that it'll cultivate, it'll get better. But what's that really look like with God? What's that really look like with God? Like yesterday I was down at Frankenmuth, right? There's this big car show down there. It was pretty awesome. I mean, if you like cars, it wasn't that exciting to me. But all these cars, and look here, as I sat and watched that, I'd watch this guy drive by in this awesome car, and he would like be hanging out the window, and you could see the pride on his face because of that vehicle that he had, right? I understand that. I get it. Probably put hours and hours and hours into making that vehicle look that way, right? So you see some old guy who drives by, and he's got this old vehicle. He might have had that vehicle since he got married, right? And now it's painted up. It looks nice. You can see the pride on his face. You know, you ever been to one of those shows? You got those guys that were sitting in that chair, and, you know, they're right by their vehicle, and they can't even sign out there that maybe tells the whole story about that vehicle, right? And all the time and effort he's put into showing that thing off, right? The pride he has in that. What that made me think of in my mind is we put all this effort into material things, into things that we have every day in life that don't really mean anything. What about God? What about God in our life? I mean, he's my Lord and Savior. He loved me. He loved me before I even knew anything. He died for my sin. And when I'm out there in society, when I'm out around people, what's that really look like? Do I have pride in the fact of that he loves me, that he can change a life, that he can change some? I sat in front of a guy this week and he talked about, Mickey, I want to know God better. And I'm honestly looking back at him and saying, well, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from doing that? You're stopping yourself from doing that. That's what's going on here. You're keeping yourself from being that man God called you to be, period. That's it. That's what it boils down to. And I'm not sorry if that hurts your feelings. I'm not. Because the reality is, here's what I know. As I sat there in the woods, crying my eyes out, crying out to God and saying, God, forgive me who I've been, forgive me. Help me to be the guy that you've called me to be. Help me to be the better husband, the better. Tell me to be the guy that you called me to. As I sat there in the woods crying my eyes out, thinking about that, I know my life was changed at that point. I'm not trying to puff myself up, by the way. If we look into God's word, we know that that's all about Jesus and the great things he does in us. He created this guy. I just opened the word and I said, man, I wanted to develop this relationship with him. And it started growing inside me and started building inside. I started using the gifts he gave me. And then the next thing you know, I started to see fruit around me. I want you to know that. I want you to know that because I know what will happen when that happens. I was sitting in front of a group of guys, a bunch of rich guys. I've done this so many times, poor guys, homeless people, whatever. If you're in life, what the answer we're looking for is found in Jesus Christ. Whether things are good, whether they're bad, it does not matter. In life, the things that we're looking for is found in Jesus Christ. If right now in life you're like, I need this, then the answer to that is Jesus Christ. You got to look for his will in your life. And if you're not building that relationship, then how do you really expect to find that? How do you really expect to find him if you're not going to put in time and effort? And look here, that is so simple in life because we apply that every day to the world. Just like those guys at the car show, right? They're willing to go in that garage and wrench that car up and shine that car up and paint that car, do whatever they want to do that car so that they can drive down the street, hang their head out the window, and wave at people and say, look how cool I am in this shiny red car. All the time and effort into that. But what about God? When you replace that whole scenario with God, you're investing time into his word, and time in prayer, time on your knees, time into him, and he begins to be able to do work inside you. Now all of a sudden, you have pride for what the change he's doing inside you. And you can share. Look here. Let me tell you this right now, okay? If you're looking at me right now and you say, Mickey, I got this. I got this. I'm there with you, Mickey. I got this. And here's what I want to tell you about that, okay? Then share with other people. Share with, look here. I did this paper this week, and he was talking about how, hey, develop a heart for the needy. And my response to that was, will you develop a heart for the needy by getting out there and being around the needy? It's pretty hard to be around the needy when you're sitting on the couch watching TV, right? It's pretty hard for you to see what God has sitting in front of you if you're not in the field. You know, we've got Love, Inc. here today, and I'm not trying to speak for Love, Inc. in any way, shape, or form, but I can imagine that she probably needs some volunteers, some help, right? I know that I've worked with her for years. So, but I know, like for me, going to where, it changed my life. The first time I drove by some kid living in a cardboard box, it changed my life. It changed my whole perspective in life. It made me want to go home and shut off the TV and never watch it again. Because I thought, where are my priorities in life? Here's a kid living in a cardboard box. You know that story in Book of Acts, right? Where John and Peter, they're going into the temple. If you've been around me, you've heard me talk about this before. John and Peter, they're going into the temple. There's that guy sitting out there asking for money, right? Peter and John's. Peter looks at him and says, I don't have any money to give you, but what I do give you, what I do have, I give to you. And he took him by the hand. The guy instantly was healed. What did that guy do? He jumped up. He ran into the temple. He was jumping and leaping and praising God. And what's it say right after that? It says the people that saw him were amazed. People that saw him were amazed. Peter and John, they went somewhere. They were actively doing. That's the same way Jesus acted, right? I once had a pastor tell me, he said, Mickey, if you're going to do something in life, try to do it the way Jesus did it. And Jesus went to the people. He got up off his cane and went to the people, and he shared love with those people. And because that, lives were changed. If you're looking at me right now and you're saying, Mickey, I got this, then I'm telling you, then go share it with other people. You've got this crazy, incredible thing inside you. You can't hold on to that. You've got to go give that to other people. You have to share that with other people. And when you share that with other people, what will happen? Their lives will be changed. They'll run into the temple, jumping and praising and leaping and praising God. And people will see that and they'll be amazed at the change that guy has in his life. When you're obedient to that, you see what I'm saying to you? You can look at me and you can say, I put on the best suit. I walked in the door today. I sang the hymns better than anybody. I'm not trying to insult you. But what I am saying is that we've got this incredible gift inside of us. We need to give that to other people because it's going to change their life forever. Forever. That guy, he didn't get crippled later on in the week. His life was changed forever. Sometimes we give this appearance. This is interesting. I couldn't believe this happened. But I'm sitting down with this guy in jail the other day. Spiritual guy. I've talked to this guy many a times. He knows the word, right? I sat there and talked to him for about an hour. He's telling me his story. We're talking back and forth. We're encouraging each other. It was encouraging to me, encouraging to him. We get done, and I go, the book cart was in there at that time. So I go over, I'm talking to some of the other chaplains that are inside of the jail there with me. We're talking back and forth, and I start hearing all this commotion, and I turn around, and the guy I was just talking to about God, the guy I was just talking to about Jesus Christ, is punching another guy in the face. And I'm thinking in my mind, what in the world is that? I just got done sharing the gospel with that guy. I just got done encouraging with God's word, and he's punching another dude in the face. What in the world is going on? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Sometimes we come here, and we can look that part. What's life really like? I sat down there with Lewis, and I listened to a story, and I thought, this guy seems pretty sincere. And then I turn around, and what's Lewis doing? He's acting like Lewis really acts all the time, right? I go upstairs, and I talk to this guy later in the day, and he's saying, Mickey, I really want to have a better relationship with God. And I ask him, how much time are you spending in his word? Well, not as much as I should. So you know what the problem is already, right? You already know what you need to be doing. Problem is you should be spending more time in his word. Me and you are sitting here talking. You always wanted me to bring you this book, but what about just getting into God's Word? What about just hearing His Word? I'm not talking about, I know salvation is not about works. But if you want to live the fullest of your life, you need to take advantage of all that God has to offer you. And that's by being obedient here, by reading His Word, by praying, by being who He called you to be. Take the fullness of that. What's that book of Joel Osteen wrote? Your Best Life Now, right? I'm not promoting that book in any way, shape, or form, by the way. But that's a great title, right? Your Best Life Now. Are you missing out on that? Are you missing out on that? Because God has a bigger plan for you, and you're sitting on your hands not following through with their plan, right? I know some of you looking at me right now like, I can't believe you just said Joel Osteen. If you really wanted to have that relationship, it requires commitment. Sacrifice. It's unconditional. It's sincere. You seek it every day, all day long. When you get, like I talked about, when you get up in the morning, choose you this day whom you will serve, do you get in the mirror and look at your face and say, am I going to choose Jesus Christ today, or am I going to choose whatever else? What is it really going to be about today? And you know, the Bible says you will know them by their fruit. You'll know whether your day was about Jesus Christ or not because of the fruit at the end of the day. The Bible talks about dying to yourself. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Not yet I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, that ye put off concerning the former manner of life the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That old man. Talk more about that in a minute. Philippians 3, it says, yea, doubtfully, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I do not count them but rubbish, so that I may win Christ. Luke 9:23 says, and he said this to them all, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What's life really look like? Monday through Saturday. Sunday can be kind of easy because it's kind of already laid out for us, right? The doors are open. I walk in the door. I hear the word. I say amen. I sing the song. I go back home. And I become the guy, the very guy that the preacher standing up there talked about you being, about not being in life. So I go back out there and become that guy that God is telling me not to be. Do you really strive for life-changing, for that life-changing relationship? The words hold all these promises, promises of peace, promises of joy, promises of love, promise that He will fight for you, the promise that He'll help you. He'll give you strength and He will help you through it all. How many times in life do we take on all that responsibility on our own? I think about Lewis sitting there. Lewis knows better than that. He knows he's not supposed to jump up and punch that guy in the face. He knows that. And I saw the whole argument happen. So why didn't he handle that the way he was supposed to? Here's the thing I think about. And I was there preaching Friday night also, and I yelled at the guys from the pod. What I found the worst was that I got up. I'm getting out of the way, right? I'm getting out of the way. I didn't get punched. I don't want to get stabbed. So I'm getting out of the way. I'm going over behind the guards table, right? I'm trying to get the other chaplains, hey, follow, come on, just get out of here. I knew we needed to leave, right? And everybody else is running and jumping and screaming and encouraging the fight, right? I mean, you've seen it before. I mean, I'm in the pod with a lot of young guys. They're mostly gang members. About 80% of those guys are in there because somebody in their whole case died, right? They're all jumping and screaming. And when I saw them Friday night, I was preaching to them guys Friday night, I asked them, I said, what in the world were you doing? You look like a bunch of fifth graders. There's a fight in the schoolyard, and what are you guys? You guys aren't being spiritual in any way, shape, or form. You're not trying to stop the fight. You're not trying to do anything. You're encouraging these two men to beat the tar out of each other. What in the world is that? Where's God in the middle of all that? I'm kind of yelling at them about it. What, are we in grade school still? Haven't we learned anything from God's Word? And they just let it happen. Haven't we learned anything from God's word? This world offers us so many things, and it appeals to us. It's pleasing to us. We don't want to give that up for Him. We don't want to give that up for Him. Sometimes God says, I want you to do this. Or stop doing that. Or be obedient to me. Or He says all these things to us. You know, I can't tell you what they are because they're different for all of us. But He says things to us and we say, you know, God, that's not so bad. It's not so bad. At least I'm not like this dude over here, right? That comes right from the Word, right? At least like I'm not like that dude over there. I'm pretty good. This isn't so bad. I'm going to hold on to this. This is of the world. I'm going to hold on to this. I'll give up these things over there because they're really bad. But this thing, I know it's bad, God, but let me hold on to this thing here. Let me hold on to this guy. Let me like, you know, I tell those guys all the time, the old guy, that old guy, you know, the old Mickey Tankersley, that guy had a lot of fun. You know, I'm not trying to give credit to anything, but, you know, Mickey Tankersley used to go to the bar and pick up women and have a good time and stuff like that. You know, I mean, it was a fun life. I don't need that stuff, though. God doesn't want me to have that stuff. That's not pleasing to Him. Sometimes I look at that old guy and say, man, that old guy was pretty cool. He had a lot of more friends than he has now. This whole Jesus thing is kind of cramping my style. I don't mean that the wrong way. But the reality is what am I really gaining? What's really important? You know, I think about those guys with those cars, right? I mean, that's really cool and all. But what if they invested all that time in God? What if they invested all that time in the Word of God? In what if they practice being obedient, like they're obedient to getting up in the morning and going and fixing that car, right? All of a sudden, life changes. And what's really going to be important in the end? Money? House? Stuff? Or love and joy and peace? Patience? What's really going to bring you happiness in life? It's so easy for us to look at the world because we've been in it so much. We're not even taught that way, right? We're kind of taught, you know, like I think about it as a kid, what was I taught? I grew up in a spiritual home. As a kid, I was taught, you know, go to school. I'm not saying these are things are bad, by the way. Go to school and get an education and go to higher education and get a job and start making money, you know, and then get a family and so on and so on. And where was God in the middle of all that? He was nowhere in the middle of all that teaching, even from my church. He was nowhere in the middle of all that. What would my life be like now if He would have been the center of it? If the whole center of my education from child to here would have been about God is number one. God needs to be number one. He needs to be the focus. What would my life be like now if that's what my education would look like? The world didn't teach me that, though, did it? It taught me all these other things. And some of those things I began to love a lot. And it's hard for me to let them go. But if God says that's not my will, it's time to let them go. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I'm going to go back to this. Because if you're looking at me and you're saying, I think I got this. And I'm telling you to share it with other people. Because the people out there are hurting. People out there don't know. They don't know what the truth is, and they're relying on you to come tell it to them. When I go into the jail and I look at a guy in the eye and I say, Jesus loves you. The Father in heaven loves you. And he looks back at me and he says, well, why would I trust that, Mickey? My father never loved me. How can I believe this Father in heaven loved me? Because that's what they know. And they need me to explain to them who God is. They need me to explain to them that the God of heaven is not the God of this earth, not the Father that they had on this earth, that He's different. He's different. He's unconditional. And He loves them so much He was willing to die for them. It's different. Now that guy sat there in front of me and asked me, I want God to be more in my life. I want Him to be more in my life. The reality is it was just, then let Him be. You're going to go back up to your cell. You're going to be able to do whatever you want to do. You can grab a book, a magazine, argue with your buddy, bunkmate, whatever it is. Or you can go up there and you can open God's Word and you can invest in Him. It puts some deep thought into that. In the book of John, we see the Samaritan woman. Chapter 4 there. Let's start at verse 4. Jesus is on a journey. He leaves to go to Galilee. John 4, starting at verse 4, he says, And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto him, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away in the city to buy food. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me? Who am I? Who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. You know what this makes me think of? It makes me think of legalism. It's interesting to me how Jesus is sitting there and he asked this woman for something, and the first thing that pops in her mind is a bunch of rules. You're not supposed to be talking to me. We're not supposed to touch each other. That's very interesting. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and his sons and his castle, and cattle? Jesus answered and said unto him, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water then I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into the everlasting life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me the water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go and call thy husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. And said thou truly. When I think about what just happened there, this woman has said, hey, give me that living water. But she didn't really want that living water. And we see that when Jesus identifies the fact that she's living in sin. So when I think about that, sometimes we want what God offers. We're not willing to give up the life we have. We're not even willing to, I mean, when you think about this is about conviction, right? Jesus is saying to that woman, hey, you say that you want this, but what about the current life that you have? What about the current things that are going on in your life? And so conviction begins in this woman's heart. And she either is going to decide to make life right or accept what Christ has or continue to live the life that she has. Like material and spiritual, right? This woman is saying, I want that life, but it's more material to me. I want that life, but it's more material to me. It's not spiritual. I'm not really looking for the life that you have to offer. I have a life now. There needs to be repentance. Maybe now is that time in your life where you say to yourself, I've been living this life for God, but I still let all these things that I want, I still let my own will completely dominate, completely oversee God's will. I'm not trying to say I'm anything special, but I'm telling you what, that night down in the woods, I think that's what I realized. I think that I realized that for the last 15 years or whatever it was, I'd lived a life that Mickey Tankersley wanted. It was comfortable to me to lead the Awana kids. It was comfortable to me for me to lead, go to Cairstown and preach when I wanted to. There was no sacrifice behind that at all. God wasn't, and I know that because so many times I would feel God asking me to do something, and I would just say no. I told you that before. Remember sitting in those pews in my church and hearing God speak to my heart while that pastor preached and him saying, Mickey, you need to get up off your can and share the word of God. You need to get up and preach to people. You need. I will work through you. He's promising me in my heart. And I would say, I can't do that, God. I can't do that. I can't be that man you're asking me to be because that's too much sacrifice for me. That's too much change in my life. It's too different for me. I can't do that. And the reality is, I was looking in the mirror, I'm saying, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. I'm telling you, if God is calling you to do something, respond to that. Get down on your knees and cry with him and say, you know, I hear you loud and clear now. And I'm willing to make this, I'm willing to make the change. I'm willing to be the person God calls you to be, called me to be. And look at, you can look at yourself in the mirror and you say, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm pretty good. And that's not what I'm asking you. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, did God call you for a bigger purpose in life and you're ignoring that purpose? Give me that water so I won't get thirsty again. But she's still thinking about her old life. Her old life is still there. Yeah, I want Jesus. I don't want to give up anything else for it, though. Jesus reminded her of who she was. She needed to see Jesus for who he really was. And later on, we see a little bit in that story, we see that as Jesus says to her, I am that man. Here's the thing. As Christians, we know the difference he can make, right? I mean, I'm not the first guy who's got up here and preached about this, right? If you've seen me here before, I've probably preached something along these lines. I'm not the only guy who stood in front of you and says, you know what the Word of God says. I'm not the only guy who stood in front of you before and said that there's a better life with Jesus Christ. I'm not the only guy. We know the book is filled with promises. We know what the promises are sometimes, right? We know what he offers to us. Maybe it's time to respond to that. In the book of John, chapter 8, verse 31 says this. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and we are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, very verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant to sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Sometimes those things in life we're holding on to, it's like bondage to us. If you really want to be free in Christ, you need to let those things go. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. What's your relationship with Jesus Christ really look like? Interestingly enough, when I got up this morning and I was going over my notes and I got ready to leave, Charles Stanley was on the TV. I have great respect for Charles Stanley as a preacher. He was talking about the same thing. And he asked the congregation to turn to Psalm 42. And he read verses 1 and 2, and it says this, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And as I heard him say those verses, it resonated inside me. Is that where we're at in life? As the hart panteth after water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That passion inside of you, that passion that we have for all kinds of things in life. What does the passion for God look like in your life? When he read that verse, what it made me think of is, like, I've ran a lot of miles. I've trained for a marathon before, so I've ran 20 miles. When you run 20 miles, you're pretty thirsty at the end, you know what I'm saying? You ever been thirsty like that before? Maybe you went out and mowed the lawn, right? It was a hot day. Been thirsty like that before? You know what that thirst feels like in your mouth, don't you? You've been working hard. You have a thirst inside you. What's it feel like when you go quench that thirst? But you want that thirst quenched, though, don't you? You desire that, and you're like, man, I need something cold to drink now. And you go in there and you get the good stuff, right? You don't, I don't know. When I was a kid, we used to use the water hose, right? But it was cold. It was satisfying. In life, right now, as you thirst, as you look for something, what are you looking for to take care of that? And look here, you can look at me and you can say that's God. You can say that in life that I have this desire inside me to be filled. What are you really using to fill that gap? We probably know the answer to that question today in this building right now. What about tomorrow? What about Tuesday? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Because while we're here, we'll hear the Word of God. And we'll be blessed. I'm an expert at this, by the way. I'll come to the house, I'll hear the Word, I'll be blessed. But I'll go outside those doors and it won't mean anything to me anymore. Because I will look to the world to quench that thirst. I'll look for things out there to fill me. And it won't be God anymore. At least until next Sunday rolls around. You understand what I'm saying to you? I don't know where you're at with that. But if right now you're still relying on the world to fill all those gaps inside you, to fill all the hunger that you have, the thirst, if you're still looking to God, or you're still looking to the world to find joy and peace and find completeness, you're probably looking in the wrong place. It should be God you're looking for that. He desires a relationship with us. We love Him because He first loved us. What does that relationship with Him really look like in life? Let's pray.